We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Digital. It's past the time I'm allowed to say this, but what the hell? Happy New Year.
It's not past the time. You can say that all the way up to, I think it's like February 13.
No, January 7th is officially the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a rebel. I say it whenever I want. I'm going to say Happy New Year for 2013 right now.
For 13? Wow. Okay. All right, then. We are not anything for pomp and ceremony. I like it. Okay. We won't stand for it. Well, yeah, I can't believe it's over. And we did, of course, our year-end show. That was fun. And just kind of in shock, kind of amazed it's Friday already of the first week back.
Oh, I know. And I do want to say my prediction on our last show for the 2015 is dead on already. So I'm saying I'm going to nail that one.
Remind everyone what that was.
I predicted before the first round of playoff games, I predicted Ohio State will be number one ranking in next year's preseason football poll. And now they're in the national championship after beating Alabama and the SEC.
Mm. Well, all our European and Australian listeners are very, very happy for you, I'm sure.
As they should be. I pretty much guarantee out of most people outside of the U.S., one of the few states almost all of them can name is Ohio. So, because it's short and easy.
Probably true. Probably easy to remember. That's true. So today we wanted to do a show that we actually talked about in the past as though we'd done it, because we had. However, we need to do it again, and we're doing it again. We're going to do it right.
Say technical difficulties.
Yes, that's all we'll say. Anyway, so SEO is art. Now, do you want to describe to everyone what that means?
SEO is art, and it's not because of one of the best books out there about SEO is called The Art of SEO. It's because art is a great acronym for the three things that really build the foundation of a good SEO program. A is authority. B, relevancy. T, B, R is relevancy.
I was like, what the hell?
A, B, C, A, R, T, whatever. So you got A, authority, R, relevancy, and T is trust. If you have those three things, you have one of the best, most solid foundations for SEO you can imagine. And today's show, we want to take each one of those and talk about some of the things that make them up.
Yeah. And to start with is, well, A
Comes before B.
Well, no, it's how's it going, eh? So A. Authority, eh?
Oh, that's right, you're Canadian.
Yeah. It was actually cute. I heard my little girl said A yesterday, and I just wanted to high five her. I was like, yes, you're three and you're already doing it. Yes.
Nice.
So cute. Anyway, the first one is link profile. So now I know there, it gets a little bit confusing because there's certain things that kind of cross over in this discussion, but link profile is absolutely key. So what does that cover? That covers anything. That covers people linking to your website, the link profile within your website. Also, those links pointing to your website. What are they? Are they from high quality sites, low quality sites? Are they relevant? Are you part of any networks you're not aware of that could be harming your website? It's actually a bit of a rabbit warren. There's a lot to something as simple as saying link profile, because I know we've had a lot of discussions, but we've almost had a whole show on just link profile. And frankly, I'm going to ask John right now to ask him to spark my memory here. What I'm missing.
So I think the difference, because a lot of people, when you talk about links, they talk about inbound links. And there's a difference between just talking about inbound links and taking a look at your entire link profile. Because when you think about inbound links, you think about, you know, what's the quality of the link? What's the anchor text of the link? How many of them do you have? Those kind of things. But if you look at your entire link profile, you're looking at things like percentages of links coming in via images and percentages of links coming in via URLs or brand names and things like that. It's not just about inbound links when you're looking at the link profile. There's a lot of pieces of that puzzle. Again, it's a link profile, so they're all connected to links one way or the other. But when you're looking about it or you're looking at it, don't think of it as just how many links do I have and are they good quality links. Think about the different types of links, you know, what percentage of this type of link versus this type of link do you have? What percentage of really super high quality links versus average links do you have? If you have nothing but high quality links, that's not a natural link profile. Natural link profiles have some of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at your link profile as a whole, don't just focus in on, I got to have this kind of link, I got to have this kind of link, or I got to have this or this. Look at the big picture when you're thinking about link profile.
Yeah, and okay, we're talking ideally here. Only time you'd ever have to look at your link profile is if something came up and perhaps you lost some rank. You're like, well, what just happened? And you're digging through and you go, okay, what's our link profile like? Because really, you're not looking at it all the time because you're practicing best practices, which is to create the kind of content people want to link to. This is the stuff that just naturally creates a link profile for you. And one of the things John was mentioning there was about how things can be, you know, quite different. Well, one thing could be of the types of links you get, some are follow, some are no follow. And we've talked about no follow before. Those are the types of links that people, let's say, link to your website from a charity page, but they don't want to look as though they're trying to influence search rankings. So they put no follows in the tag of the link. It could be also people talking about your website, but it's totally unrelated to their overall theme of their site, and they want to put a no-follow in. There's a whole number of different things it could be that no-follow is used for. The point is that they're saying they don't want to be associated with this or look like they're trying to game Google. This is all part of a healthy link profile. So if you, I've looked at a lot of link profiles in the past, doing audits and such, and it's obvious when there's an unnatural link profile. Just like John was saying, you know, if they're all high quality, well, that's very suspicious. If they're all follow links, there's no follow or very few. Whoa, okay, obviously they've been doing some low quality stuff here, because frankly, that just doesn't happen, especially these days. You're gonna, well, I don't even know what the percentage is anymore, but I mean, you're easily gonna see about 40% of your links are followed. Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about why this is important to authority. I mean, this is the authority section. So link profiles and inbound links and that whole thing is really tying back to the old school Page Rank, and back when Google first launched, and Larry Page said, how do we make this difference? How do we provide better quality results? And they said, well, let's look at who's linking to who. And the people, the pages that are linked to the most are the most authoritative because everybody's using them as a resource. And that's why this link profile piece fits in under the authority. But what's happening today, as things have become more sophisticated, not just the search engines, but the internet as a whole is becoming much more diverse and much more sophisticated. First of all, the landscape of links on the internet is shrinking. People are not creating links nearly as often as they used to. People don't share on blogs as much as they used to. A lot of that stuff's moving to social media. And so the engines are looking at these link profiles and looking at the landscape of links and realizing, okay, this was a great way to determine authority a few years ago. Things are changing. How do we change this to match that? And what they're doing is they're moving into a couple other things that are also helping to provide authority, which are, first one we'll talk about, I just mentioned, social media. So social media references, social media engagements, that's another thing outside of your link profile when you're thinking about the authority of a website that needs to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, and these days, you know, I still get, well, we want to do link building too. Can you do link building for us? No. No, we'll do authority building for you. We'll help you plan your authority plan. You know, yes, you want to create great content. You want to create the kind of things that people naturally want to link to. But you also want that content to be found socially, shared socially, engaged socially, both on whatever platform. It could be Google Plus, Facebook, in a public method, of course, something that the search engines can see, or within your own site. Again, if Google sees that a particular article is coming up regularly, it is being shared, it is garnering a lot of comments, official, actual, non-garbage comments, there's a certain discussion happening, then that is going to add some value and it's going to look much more authentic. It's not going to look authentic. It is authentic. I mean, that's the beauty of it. By Google integrating link profiles, your backlinks with the social, it makes it a lot more difficult to fake it. And also, frankly, it increases the quality of your entire engagement. Now, John, what about local citations?
Well, I was going to say, but before we get to local citations, because local citations is a completely separate type of authority specific to local search primarily or geo-modified searches. But when we talk about the link profile, how it ties into the social media signals, I personally believe that, you know, there's been a debate for years in our industry about which is more important, content or links. And if you think about the two as shares of the algorithm, and since it's been kind of an even debate, we say 50% of the shares are links and 50% of the shares are content. I think that link share is starting to be taken, the link share is starting to be eaten away by social. So today it might be, 45% links, 5% social, and 50% content. 2 years from now, it could easily be 30% links, 20% social, and 50% content. 5 years from now, it can be 40% social, 10% links, 50% content. So I think that social and link profile and inbound links thing is really merging, and social over time is going to take the significant portion of that authority driving signals. That's just my opinion. There's no proof behind that. I just think that's where it's going.
Yeah. Well, and also the integration of mobile will play a big role, I think, too. I mean, this is a certain amount of conjecture, but with Google pushing everything into, for example, their ability to specify websites that are now mobile friendly, they're really trying to push everyone to making sure that they can be found locally on a mobile site. On a mobile handheld device, and that way they can be sure that the content is useful in that regard. And if a site has a mobile presence and is doing quite well in that regard, it's probably going to have some benefit as well in terms of your overall authority. These are all different places, different mediums that are going to contribute. I mean, these are all great signals, right? If your site's doing really well, it's local. But it's not doing very well on mobile. Why? What's going on? Especially if it is mobile friendly, what's going on? And these are all things that can look at questions and raised flags for Google.
Right. And to answer your question about local citations, and how they tie into the authority piece of this puzzle, is really when you're looking at local search, you're looking for geo-modified search results or mobile search results, because that's very, very, very tightly tied to local, is the citations are kind of like the authority metric for the local search. So, and just to be clear, a citation differs from a link. We all know what a link is. It's somebody with a hypertext somehow pointing to your site. What a citation is, it's an instance of your NAP. And in local search, NAP is an acronym for name, address, and phone number. Those three pieces put together really identify a business in the eyes of the search engines. And those NAPs, whenever they appear somewhere out on the internet, not necessarily in link form, they just appear together, that's considered a citation. And just like links, it's not just how many citations do you get. You want them to be relevant citations. You want them to be on authority sites, related, relative sites. Very similar, factors go into play around citations that go into play around links. So if you're already familiar with those kind of factors for good quality links, very, very similar for citations. But in this case, those things build the authority. The more of those you have, the higher quality of those you have, the more relevant citations you have, the more authority you have in your local space.
Excellent. Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about R for relevance.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, panda and penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm. Hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Now, today we're talking about how SEO is art. A for authority, R for relevancy, and T for trust. These are all the facets you require to succeed online, essentially in the search engines. So let's get into relevancy now. Keywords versus topics. Do you want to just jump into that there?
Yeah, I've actually been doing this quite a bit recently. So I'd say probably towards the end of last year, we had a show where I basically said keywords are dead. And they're not dead. They'll always be important. But the idea of targeting individual keywords is not nearly as important anymore as it was for topics. But as far as relevancy goes, when you think about search in general, whether it be Google, MSN, Yahoo, doesn't matter which engine we're talking about. By the way, just to digress just a minute, the new rankings for search engines came out. Google lost 4% of the market share and Yahoo picked up 3.5%. Just to throw that out there. All because the Yahoo replaced Google on Firefox as a default search engine. But still, that's interesting. Anyway, sorry I digressed. So no matter what search engine you're using, when somebody uses a search engine, they're asking a question. And when you're asking a question, the pages of your sites are the answers to those questions, but you have to be relevant. Your pages have to be relevant to the question being asked. And you do that by understanding the types of words being used in the questions. Basically, are you using the keyword tools to understand which keywords see the most volume? But you don't want to look at targeting just those specific keywords, because the questions that are being asked can vary so much. You want to target that topic. And a good example came out after the Hummingbird update, where someone had shown some search results prior to Hummingbird and post Hummingbird. And what they did is they said, I'm looking for a chili recipe or a chili dish. Okay, very distinct differences in those phrases. And prior to Hummingbird, they were completely different search results. I think 8 out of 10 of the search results for those two phrases were completely different results in the first page of Google. Post Hummingbird, for the same two search phrases, 8 out of 10 of the search results for those were exactly the same. So what that tells us is that the semantic language that we currently think about and talk about in search is actually being applied to results now, where something is very similar on the same topic, they're going to have similar results, as opposed to doing individual targeting for those two phrases. You can actually get results for those two phrases by writing content on a page that's topically oriented, as opposed to having two pages that are one about recipes and one about dishes, right? Which was very common practice for many, many years in SEO, is having tons of pages that were very similar, targeting similar phrases. You don't have to do that anymore.
And what's the other term for that?
Don't know.
Semantic.
Oh, semantic
relations. I mean, these are related terms, and that's why there's such talk about semantic indexing. Okay.
I said that earlier. I'm like, I already said semantic. He's thinking something else. He's got to know. He's trying to trick me.
Well, I didn't hear you mention it. So, okay. So the other thing it teaches us is that the chili dish doesn't have anything to do with chili and hottie. I wasn't sure about that.
It doesn't.
See, I don't know. Google might be wrong there. Anyway, the next part is content. So that's, in terms of relevancy, obviously the content on your site has to be relevant to what you're trying to be found for. And there are different content types, which we'll get into in a second. But at this point, just the simple fact that the content of your overall theme of your website should be relevant to the phrase. And Google is good at that. I mean, it's, again, we're talking about semantics here. It's about the meaning of the website, and the content needs to match that as best as possible. And it can still be a very diverse site, but if it's all under the same umbrella in terms of content, that's where you're going to win.
Yep. And I think an important point to mention here is, when we talk about content, we're not necessarily talking about optimizing content for a specific topic or phrase. In my opinion, the importance of content is how much of it you have, and the ongoing publishing of content. Because if you think about it, we talked about how the people are asking questions in search, and your pages are the answers. Well, the more pages you have on the website, the more content you have on your website, as long as it's not competing for the same topics and you keep adding new, fresh content, you're getting more and more reach into search. You're probably driving more and more traffic to your site because you have more answers to answer those questions that people are asking in search.
Exactly. Now, when you come to content types, really we're getting into media. We're getting into the different types of content that can be considered when Google's doing an analysis of your site. Now, that could be media from the points of views of video, could be imagery.
The holidays are doubly important this year, so make your celebrations doubly special. At Kroger, we've got a huge selection of high-quality meats on top of fresh, natural produce, like fresh, never-frozen prime-grade beef and our Simple Truth organic Brussels sprouts, or delicious King Crab legs with our Private Selection gourmet potatoes. Whew, had to say that doubly fast. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save a dollar each with card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Images, I should say. It can be audio, SoundCloud, any kind of content you put on your site that can be indexed. having some diversity is going to help you, especially when you consider universal search results. And those are the results you see that integrate everything from images to video to Google Places listings, to you name it. You want to make sure that if you want to get the most diverse footprint, that you have diverse content.
And Google hasn't come out and said this, but MSN did. We covered this at the end of last year. MSN actually came out with a post talking about, you know, what makes a good optimized page. They specifically said they look for pages of content that have videos, that have images, that have a variety of types of media, and that those pages do better in Bing. And I Google hasn't said it outright, but I have to think that that's the same there, at least at some level.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into trust.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
ShipStation helps online retailers ship orders faster. It's so easy to set up and use. ShipStation gives you tools to automatically import, manage, and ship your orders in the most cost-efficient way. Save money with the best USPS rates possible, as well as a free USPS account. ShipStation integrates with all the most popular e-commerce platforms and shipping carriers. Get shipping done no matter where you sell or how you ship. Webmasterradio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/webmasterradio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services. PPCprofessionals.com.
All-inclusive marketing is the luxurious five-star resort of digital marketing.
Welcome to All-Inclusive Marketing.
Engage with All-Inclusive Marketing's award-winning strategists to ramp up your online profitability and brand exposure, driving new customer acquisitions, increased sales, and stronger buyer retention.
Another mojito, please?
All-Inclusive Marketing's full-service digital and performance marketing accommodates every brand, specializing in retail, travel, and software as a service.
What a great room.
The A in All-Inclusive Marketing means award-winning leadership, excellence in results, as well as an A rating by the Better Business Bureau. For reach, engagement, and conversion, it's all
whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. Namejet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, Namejet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to Namejet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. Namejet.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Today we're talking about how SEO is art. A for authority, R for relevancy, and T for trust. And we're on the final segment here. Trust.
Trust is interesting. And it's interesting. This whole thing, this whole show is cool because I talk about this idea of SEO as art when I present a lot of times, and I have a few slides. And I actually spent like a whole half a day one day making a slide about trust. I put all these graphs and all this interesting little colors. And I'll show you the slide sometime. It's pretty cool. But when I pop up the slide and everybody goes, ooh, because it's all like, you know, complicated, I say, basically, it comes down to one simple thing. There's good things to do And then there's bad things to do when it comes to how the algorithm looks at you. And trust is getting rid of the bad things and improving the good things. So, and we're talking about tactics here, SEO types of tactics, some of the old school things. Mm-hmm. And you believe people still do this, put white text on a white background to try to hide content on a page. Those are bad signals to the search engine. Those are negative trust elements. And the more you get rid of those and the more you improve good, the more trust you're going to have. The one caveat here is that one single bad element can outweigh almost all of your good elements. So depending on which one it is.
It's kind of funny, you know, the white text thing. It's been so long since that was quote unquote, you know, used on a regular basis or in. Mm-hmm. It's probably like clothing trends. It's going to come back.
People are like, that would be so scary. I tell you, the very first conference I spoke at, like in I think it was 2006 at SES, I had a bunch of baseball caps made, and they were white baseball caps with the letters SEO on the front in white, right? And I'd walk around, you know. And so there'd be the newbies there saying, oh, you're a white hat SEO. But the people that really understood and got it said, hey, that's black hat. They understood that that was a black hat, not a white hat. And it's funny. There's actually a picture on Flickr of Matt Cutts wearing one of those hats.
I've got my hat right here, so thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I look at it all the time. And I love testing people on it. I think it'd be a really good test to have during interviews.
Oh, yeah. What color is this hat?
Yeah. What is this hat?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. That's going to be kind of evil, but I'd still do it.
But trust is one of those factors, you know, when it comes to SEO, that's really, it's hard because there's things like age. You know, the longer your site's been around and the longer you've had your link profile clean, those kind of things add to your trust. And that's not something that you can really just work on. You just have to wait for those things to happen. You make sure your link profile is clean and good. And the older it gets, the stronger it's going to be, and because the more trust it has. So trust is a tricky one sometimes. It really is.
Yeah. And, you know, good versus bad tactics. I mean, like you said, the text, white text, white background is a good example of bad. There are a lot of examples of bad, though, and you can look them up online. There's a ton of different articles discussing tactics you should never use in SEO. And I do strongly recommend that, especially if you're new to this and you've got another agency working with you or you're just dipping your toes into this whole concept. Mm-hmm. Just familiarize yourself with this and make sure that you don't go that route. And it changes, but there are some really, 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 really bad ones that you should know about for sure.
The other one we should mention just for people new to this is paid links. And it sounds like, you know, well, we know paid links are bad. We don't do paid links. But paid links is not as clear-cut as you might think it is. What about a press release? You pay someone to do a press release and you put a link in it without a nofollow, they're hinting that that's considered paid links. If you have a guest blog post and they put the links into it or you pay someone to write a post on your site, that could be considered a paid link. It's not just about going out and saying, hey, I'll give you this amount of money if you put a link on your site anymore. There's other things that are much less clear cut that are being considered paid links these days. So you be very careful about these bad tactics because the definitions of them aren't necessarily set in stone anymore.
Yeah, and even Google, I swear, can't keep up to date their own webmaster guidelines and all these things that change. There's a lot of ambiguous things such as that. You know, when I post on any kind of SEO blog or anything that's not my own, I often get a nofollow. But people wouldn't understand why if they'd got that. And they might even be irate. Why are you no-following my link? I just created this great piece of content for you. Well, it's because they don't want it to appear as structured favoritism. It's, you know, something that's you're trying to influence Google.
So here's one that's a little bit technical that I've been dealing with. So, you know, in news sites, one of the foundations of newspapers for a long time are the classified ads, right? And part of the classified ads are autos and real estate. Well, in real estate, the way it works today online is real estate agencies pay to have their MLS listings listed on websites. Well, if they're paying to have these listings listed on a website, and that listing also happens to contain a link back to the realtor's website, is that or is that not considered a paid link?
Mm.
So there's it gets complex, and to protect yourself, you know, me as having news sites to protect my news sites, you know, if I'm super conservative, I'm going to say, yeah, that's a paid link, But then if I go to my sales teams and say, we're going to no-follow these, you can't say, you know, make sure you know, you tell them that this is not going to count towards them. Some clients are going to get mad. So it's a very tricky line to walk sometimes.
They might get mad, but the fact is you're protecting them, and that's that should be clear.
Well, yeah, I agree, and it sometimes it takes multiple conversations to make them see that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, dear. So another element of trust is crawlability. Now, it's a bit of a mouthful, but essentially it's how can Google crawl your website and how easily and how efficiently and, you know, what we're also talking historically here, you know, is have there been issues with your site? Have there been malware incidences? In other words, has it been hacked? All these different things point to a certain amount of credibility and authority. In this case, trust is what we're focusing on. But the idea of ensuring your website from the day it was designed, implemented basic or at least basic SEO concepts is key. And so many people come to us asking us to do SEO after a website's been designed. It has to be done during the design. Not all of it, obviously, but there are key elements to a design to make sure that it is going to be as crawlable as possible.
Yeah, and a good example of this is when you build a complex website, you know, an e-commerce site comes to mind, it's very, very, I hate to say it, but it's common that the software that the designers build will create what we call multiple paths of navigation to the same product, right? And what happens is, to put it simply, if you change a single character in a URL, so if you change it from HTML, you know, myproduct.htm to myproduct.html, that's seen as two completely different pages to the search engines. One character changes, two different pages to a search engine, right? So if a complicated site has what we call multiple paths of navigation to get to the same product, that product URL might be different based on the navigation. And if that happens, what that creates is duplicate content, multiple versions of the site, and you could have a site with 500 pages that ends up being indexed with, you know, 4,000 pages because of all these different duplicate content issues because of the technology and the crawlability. Those kind of signals diminish your trust in the search engines. If you have 500 pages and every one of them is duplicated five times, you're going to have less trust than if you just have those straight 500 pages that are indexed properly.
Yeah. Yeah. It points to a certain amount of understanding and quality. Right, so it makes a lot of sense. Now, the next part is technology and mobile. You know, let's consider what in terms of trust, are you using the latest technology? Is your website mobile friendly? In some cases, people just having a responsive website will be enough. Sometimes, basic responsive. Another one might be want to be more focused on the different types of mobile handsets that you know. In some cases. Particular websites are geared towards mobile, and they're going to have to go to another level. But technology can range in a whole different set of ways. It can be the conditional get command, which John always does a great description of. In fact, I'll let you do that right now, if you don't mind.
Conditional get basically is when a spider comes to your site, there's actually a setting on your server that says you can turn conditional get on or conditional get off. If it's turned off, every time the spider comes to the site, they will crawl that page no matter what. But if it's turned on, the first thing they will do is look at the update when the page was last updated. And if it hasn't changed since the last time they updated, the conditions have not changed, they will bypass it and go to the next page. So what that does, it really helps with a large site and that might not be getting all of its pages crawled. It allows for deeper crawls. It's just a good thing to help preserve. Sometimes spiders take up a ton of bandwidth on your server because they're crawling every single page. Check conditional get. Turn it on. And if you haven't changed a bunch of those pages, that you get that bandwidth back because the spiders are not crawling them anymore. They'll crawl them, but they're not gonna download them and basically copy them as they normally do.
Yeah, I mean, so, in retrospect, it's a bit of a mix between crawlability and technology, but the fact is it is a technology because you do have to enable it within your server. But yes, it will improve crawlability as well because if you consider Google's visit to your website as having a certain crawl budget, it's probably debatable whether there is much of one, but then it doesn't have to waste that budget on pages that it already has indexed. It's just a solid plan, works really well for many sites that we've enabled it on, and we strongly recommend it. What other forms of technology should be worth considering?
Things like Ajax and Flash. I mean, Ajax is a programming language that allows you to do dynamic calling of content to a page without changing the URL. If it's not used correctly, that content is not seen. So, you know, that's more of a technology thing. And again, trust, if you have a lot of content, if you're used as a resource, you have more trust. Well, if the search engines can't see that content, they can't see that you do have a lot of content on this site, it's going to undermine your trust somewhat. And that's because of the technology you used to display that content, whether it be Ajax, Flash. We all know that Flash content in Flash is not very readable. There's some debate. They've improved it very slightly. But if there's to me, the line where Flash is if there's a varying state in your Flash file. So if you can click something and it changes, or it changes on its own based on anything, if the Flash file changes, if it has various what we call states, then it's not going to be crawlable. If it's a Flash file and it's one thing and it never changes, I don't know why it's Flash in the first place, but if that's the case, then it's possible sometimes for them to get in there, read that content, and even crawl links. But if there's any state changes whatsoever, it becomes useless.
Dude, they had to update from animated flames to Flash flames. It's just the way it was.
Well, I like the GIF flames better.
For all you guys that have been out there since 97 or so, you'll understand. Yes.
You know what I haven't seen that I wish someone would make just because of the coolness factor is a Flash version of the Dancing Banana.
Oh my God.
Do you remember the Dancing Banana? I loved that thing.
Vaguely.
I'll have to post it up on our community page.
Well, everyone, you know, one thing actually before I cut off is one other thing I wanted to note was something that had come up recently, and that was about using tabs in your page to house content. So in many sites, you can click on different tabs on a particular page, especially in product sites, to see more information. So let's say the specs for a particular item, shipping details, et cetera, et cetera. They try and do this to condense it so you don't have to scroll the page. It's a good idea. But Google does not treat that content within those tabs as viewable content when it's indexing. So that's an example.
Hold on. I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit. Depends on the technology that creates those tabs. If you're using the right jQuery, There's a set of JavaScripts called jQuery, and some of those jQueries work very well to allow you to put content on tabs and have it indexed.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about being indexed. It is all in. Well, let's say they're all indexed. I mean, I grant that it's probably ones that aren't. But Google has said that they will not look at that and consider it when you're talking about the positively for the ranking. Like, it's not going to be content they're going to use. I read about it, I don't know, before the Christmas holidays.
Send me a link. I haven't read that, so I'm interested in reading that. Yeah.
Well, I want to make sure I'm right too, but that's what I read. So we'll bring that up again for sure. And if I'm wrong, we'll bring it up in the next show.
If you're right, we'll give you credit. We'll bring it up again. Either way.
Yeah, I'll believe when I see it.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
hey, before you close, I want to recap though, because I want to make sure everybody understands. We talked about these three things, and I just want to recap them. So the three things: authority, relevancy, and trust. If you have these three things, you have a great foundation for SEO. If you have good authority, you have good relevancy in your content, and the engines trust your site, you've got a good foundation. But all three of these things are never done. You can always improve all three of them. So these are the kind of things that when you're looking at a strategy for SEO for a client, if you look at their authority, look at their relevancy, and look at their trust, there's going to be things you can do to improve each one of those ongoing. So look at that. And you know, I personally use this as kind of the foundation of how I build a strategy for a particular client. You know, if they have great authority and not much content or relevancy, my strategy is going to focus on relevancy. If they've got a ton of content but nobody knows about them because they don't have any authority, then my strategy is going to wrap around the authority. So if you think about these three things as your foundation from an SEO, just remember that all of them can always be improved.
Yeah, very well said. And one thing we do to sort of account for this is when we're working with a new client, we conduct an audit that covers all of those bases. Take about 8 hours, but they're extremely in depth. But we have to ascertain the level of each of those. And what we come out of that with is a plan and how to implement that. And then we talk about an authority building plan. What is it that you're going to require now that your site is baseline? It's being cleaned up. There's no issues with authority relevance trust, at least in terms of what you can see. You know, the links that are pointing to the site that are perhaps garbage have been disavowed, et cetera, you're cleaning things up. What is it going to take to build the authority to another level so that you can then compete? That's all part of the planning. So,
cool.
Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, thanks for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google Plus. And, there's a lot of questions on there. In fact, I think we missed getting to a couple of them this week, so we'll have to look at that next week. But
nice. I love questions.
Yes. So keep them coming, and hopefully it'd be great if we could get a whole show of just questions.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, have a great week, everyone. And remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, every Wednesday on webmasterradio.fm. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
You should be saving for the future, but savings accounts suck, and investing can be scary. We combine the ease of savings with the real returns of investing. We call it Savevesting, and it's only available in our new app, Stairs. Stairs offers 4 to 6% returns, no fees, and you can withdraw anytime. Do your future a favor. Visit StairsApp.com today.